of our lives is to praise the one who made us, to live for the one who died for us, and to love our fellow man as God has loved us. So hopefully we can be edified by all these songs. And song leaders, your order is on the overhead behind me, so just follow that order. I think this song that we're about to sing, In My Life, Lord, Be Glorified, is perfect for the theme that I chose, because it so simply puts what we're here on this earth to do, and that is to glorify God. So let's sing number 309, and we'll be led in our opening prayer.
Let's bow. Our Father in heaven, we come before you tonight, recognizing you as the true Lord of all and Creator. And we know, Father, that you are the only God, the Almighty, all-knowing God. And as we come before you tonight, we pray that you'll be praised in our worship. And we pray, too, that you'll be praised in our lives, for we want to serve you. And we pray that all that we do tonight in our worship will be pleasing to you, and that we'll each one be attentive to the things that we are doing here. Father, we're weak. We know that we sin against you, and we come before you now, each one of us, as we pray to you, repenting of the things we've done wrong and asking you to forgive us, to be with us and to build us up and help us to be strong in the days ahead. For we love you, Lord. And we pray tonight, Father, for those who are struggling. We know that there are many who are even with us tonight who are having hard times, fighting illness, old age, addictions, all kinds of difficulties, Father. And we pray that you would be with each one. We mention the names of a few to you now, Cornell Yeoman, and pray that you'll be with him this week in surgery. We thank you for the successful test that Jim Lamb has just had, and the successful surgery that Dwayne Maxwell has been through. Pray that you'll continue to be with them and with Patty Scott and Elizabeth Adeshina, with Scott McCauley, TJ Matthews, and so many others, Father. Nancy Barler, Marty O'Neill, Paul Steen, and others too that we can't name all, some of our extended loved ones in other places that we care about and love, and pray that you'll be with them, Father. We know that you care. And certainly you have the power to heal. So, Lord, as we worship you now, we pray that you'll be with us each one and help us to always try to serve you. For we pray now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Well, as Matt has mentioned in his outline, one of the reasons that we're here is to praise God, praise the one who made us. And let's sing number 75, all three verses, and let's all sing out.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad, and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines.
Number 16 in the supplemental book. High above the seraphim sounds an everlasting hymn. Voices echo through the hall and shake the temple wall. Living creatures bless the King, for in 20 elders sing, worthy He who overcame the Number 300, praise Him, praise Him. Number 300.
Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He
Number 594, live for Jesus. 594, sing all three verses.
Thank you.
Let's all stand for this song. Number 608, He Gave Me a Song. Number 608. Alone.
Yeah. Number 650. Number 650, we'll sing the first, the second, and the last verses.
There's a call from Creek for restless ways in the lost.
Number 705. The verse right below the title there, John 13:34-35, the words of Jesus, "As I have loved you, you must now love one another." We'll sing the first verse twice. Number 705, A Common Love.
Number 34 in the supplemental book. Number 34, Our Fellowship.
invitation number 2. And before the invitation is tonight, number 711. 711.
You'd like to turn in your Bibles to the book of Job, chapter 1. Recently, there was a big fallout about auto companies being too big to fail. Basically, the idea was that several companies were so vital to the country's economy that for them to fail would damage the country's economic infrastructure. It would be really bad. I don't know a thing about the economy, so it wasn't a big deal to me. However, the idea of too big to fail is a serious one. And I'd like to suggest that there is one person who is actually indeed too big to fail, and that is the Lord God in heaven. In my experience at USF last year, I met several people who would describe themselves along these lines. I'm not a Christian, Muslim, or Jewish, but I believe in God and I love him. I've also met Christians who can be described as this. I'm a Christian, but you'd never be able to tell if it weren't Sunday morning. And at some point in our lives, one of these descriptions probably fit all of us. Perhaps it describes you right now tonight. If that's the case, I'd like to share a unique piece of information with you. I'd like to read a few passages of Job. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. His possessions also were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. And that man was the greatest man in all of the East." We see here that Job was living the life. God has visibly blessed Job so much that he is described as the greatest of all men in the East. In verse 6, it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From roaming about on the earth and walking around it.' From there on, God and Satan proceed to talk about Job. But my emphasis is that God and Satan were communicating. I don't know how often God and Satan communicate, but this certainly indicates that it is something that can and previously has happened. And then if you take a look in Ephesians 3, we see that God and Satan are not the only beings who see what we are doing on earth. In Ephesians 3, verse 8, Paul says to the church in Ephesus, "To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light that bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So not only does God and Satan know what is going on earth, but rulers and authorities in the heavenly places have knowledge of what is going on because they knew what Paul was preaching. In 1 Timothy 5:14, it says, "Therefore I want younger widows to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach." In Titus 2:8, Paul says, "For young men to be sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing to say about us." So let's take a quick inventory of what we know here. God sees what we're doing. Rulers and authorities in heavenly places see what we're doing. Satan sees what we're doing and can communicate with God about it. And our actions can give the enemy an occasion to reproach, in other words, give him a chance to accuse God or put him to shame. The things we choose to do aren't just seen by man, but by the beings and places that we cannot see. This has a serious implication. God has made an investment in the human race. His investment in his children is seen not only by him, but by the rulers in the heavenly places and by Satan himself. What's this mean? God's reputation is on the line before this audience every single time we have an opportunity to act. Further in the story of Job, he loses all of his family and all of his possessions. But in verse 22, it says, "Through all of this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God." Job had an opportunity to act in a way that would embarrass God before Satan and the powers in heavenly places. But instead, through all of this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. I'd like to challenge you to openly and honestly think about what may have been said about you in the heavenly places tonight. Heavenly places tonight. Job acted in a way that put the opponent to shame, that gave the enemy no occasion for reproach. If you're a Christian, what could Satan say to God about your conduct this week? What would your conduct this week have demonstrated to the powers in heavenly places? As Christians, we know that God prepared a way for us to be free of sin before the start of time. We know he sent his son to die an agonizing death on the cross for our sins. He gave us that avenue of prayer to petition him concerning our needs. He set up the church so that we might constantly grow as his followers and support each other and praise him. As if there weren't enough deterrents to keep us from sinning, remember this. Every time we sin, Satan sees it. Heavenly powers see it, and it embarrasses God. The God who did everything for us puts his head in his hands and shakes his head in shame when we embarrass him with our conduct. If you're not a Christian, God has a plan for you tonight. This isn't a mystical plan where every facet of your life is planned out to the T. Instead, God simply plans for you to be a follower of Christ. God knows that you are covered in the stain of your sin, and he wants to make you white as snow. But not only does God know this, but Satan and the powers in the heavenly places know it too. Even if you're not a Christian yet, you're still God's creation, a creation that is being observed by the beings that you and I can't see. If you have the information that convinces you of your guilt of sin, that you need saving, if you understand that becoming a Christian is to turn your life away from all sins and live for Christ, but you're not a Christian, what does that look like to Satan and the powers in heavenly places? It makes it appear that God's plan is not working. That's embarrassing. So the question tonight is really, are you acting in a way that brings pride to God? If you're a Christian, are you following the admonition to act in a way that puts the opponent to shame, that gives the enemy no occasion for reproach? Or do the things that Satan and the heavenly powers see you do put God to shame? God was proud this morning. Another one of his creations submitted himself to his will. And he said he did it because he knew it was time to get going. I wouldn't be surprised if there was another one in the audience tonight who knows it's time to get going. Are you going to fail God tonight by leaving the building the same way as you came in? Or are you going to make him proud as he was this morning? So whether you're a Christian or not, you have an opportunity to act tonight just as Job did. If you're a Christian and you're not living properly, if you're struggling with sin, come forward and accept the love and help of the congregation in prayer. If you're not a Christian, your decision tonight has an audience in the heavenly places. God, Satan, and the beings we can't see are eagerly waiting your response. Who will you please tonight? I don't know if the verdict on whether or not those auto companies were actually too big to fail has been given, and I don't personally care. However, I do know that based on the things God did for us, he is indeed too big to fail. So, if you want to make him proud, come forward while we stand and sing.
Are you way down?
Christians and non-Christians alike sometimes need to say things that have to correct situations in their life. Even if we're not at our home congregation, and of course, we've come to know you from your visits with us through the years, and so glad that you've been with us again for the past week. But she feels that she made some inappropriate comments, or at least were construed the wrong way this morning to some people, and she just wanted to make sure that these people understand that she made a comment in a way that she thinks was inappropriate or taken the wrong way, and she would not want that to in any way reflect upon the Lord.